Welcome to Chatting About Change with Dr. Jim Maddox. I'm a professor, OD consultant, and change strategist, helping individuals and organizations experience life to the fullest and engaging in positive transformational change. In addition to this podcast, please check out my latest book, Embracing Resistance to Change, Facilitating Change Differently Through the Paradox of Resistance, available now through Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. Hello and welcome to another episode of Chatting About Change with Dr. Jim Maddox. Today I'm talking with Dave Jamieson. Dr. Jamieson is a retired professor from St. Thomas University in Minnesota. He is the president of the Jamieson's Consulting Group. And I've known Dave for, I don't know, about a dozen or so years. Met first at the OD Network conference years ago. And I think the world of Dave. He's just a genuine human being and just very insightful and articulate and just has a really good grasp of the field of OD and change. And so I'm looking forward to this conversation because from talking with him a little bit before, he's going to share just some of the new ideas he's got around kind of how we need to redefine what it means to lead change today. And just kind of how some of the knowledge around org development and change is kind of evolving. So, Dave, welcome.
Thank you so much, Jim. It's nice to be back with you and talking with you again. I've now been in the field for about 55 years, so I've seen a lot of the old time stuff and the new time stuff But what I've done in the last couple of years is a bit more thinking about what am I noticing about when I was full time out in the field. I was full time. I always had three to five clients at a time, and I was a full time consultant. Then I let that drop down, and went into being a professor for a while. And I fell in love with that as well. I love the teaching part. I do not like all the craziness in higher ed, but I do love the teaching part. And so now I have those two pieces in my head. One is I care about OD education, and I care about what's happening in the field, but I realize that my time in the field is now 10 to 15 years ago. And I keep thinking about what's really different. And so I thought the topic is leading change. And it makes me think about two or three different things. One of them is that organization change has always been, had some difficulties. And the reason is because most changes make work change. The work we do needs to change. And so do the people need to change. And I think what's so fascinating about what is a successful change and what is not a successful change, I think we often have not, I think OD has done better than management consulting in change because I think we pay closer attention to how the people are able to make the changes. But I think a lot of the people do change in ways that doesn't pay enough attention to what it takes for human beings to move past their resistance of, I don't want to change my job. I want to do it the way I've always done it. And yet needing to change it and not having people who are actually helping and supporting them to change. So I think one of the most important parts of it is there is some difficulties to do in change. And I think that's why we don't have what I would call a very strong record of successful changes all the time. And so the second thing that I'll talk about is change itself has really been changing a lot. And so when we used to talk about organization change, we were in a very, very different world 30 years ago, 40 years ago, even 20 years ago. And I would characterize it as our environment was more stable than anything is today. Meaning we used to have more stable environments. And so the knowledge we had about our marketplace, about our business, about our competition, and about how our organization functioned, a lot of people would have that knowledge and they would feel confident that they knew how to solve problems and they knew what to do next. And as long as the world wasn't changing as rapidly as it is today, then I think that stable environment allowed us to work on changes as separate projects. That is, change was not our normal work. Change was an occasional piece of work. And so when I started and when everybody I know worked it, practically all the projects, they were hiring consultants or they were working with internals and they were putting them on projects that were about change. And so the people were not changing anything about how they do the work. The change people would come up with some new ideas and then they had to bring it back into the system. And in fact, I don't know how many times in my own life I worked with a team on a change separate from the company. And then we would come back.
And it seems like that still is that still seems to be a common approach. When I think about the number of people that when they talk about when I talk about OD and change, and they'll say, "Oh, yeah, I really like the idea of change management, and that's why I'm getting my project management certificate." And that seems to still be a common approach, or that seems to be the credential that a lot of people feel that they need if they want to help, do change in an organization, is they need to have those project management skills.
Well, and I'm seeing that. I mean, I agree with you. I'm seeing that almost take over. People think that change management and project management is all they need to do change. And what I'm going to try to say today is that is not anywhere near enough of what we need to do today with change. But because once we have built it in as separate projects, the next thing we have to do is we have to be able to bring it back in to the people who actually have to implement it. And that's where I think we have twice the resistance that we should never have. Because we actually create the resistance when sometimes the people who do the work are not the ones engaged in getting the change done. And then the second thing too is and then another piece of this thing is who was leading the changes. So the real leaders of the organization often never led the changes, which I thought was really ironic since we kept calling it change leadership. But it was they were delegated. In other words, a leader would act as a sponsor or a funder. But the leader wasn't the one working with people to make decisions about how should we make our change happen in this organization. And so I think that also made a bit of a difference. And especially back then, there was not a lot of environmental things pushing and driving change on our system all the time. So we got away with it. And I also think that's how we got away with about 40 years of planned, of what we used to call planned change. We could do planned change, we could make a plan, and we could 9 out of 10 times use that plan. Today, it's very hard to think about that because one of the things that's different is the types of change that are happening. For example, more changes seem to be disrupting our systems, meaning it's not just affecting one department, it's not just affecting one issue like it's a problem to solve, but instead, what's happening is it's affecting things in the interdependent system. So it may be caused by, well, for example, it may be caused by something happening in our supply chain but now it's actually disrupting things across our system. So it's affecting more of the whole system than a part of the system. And so I think we have to start paying attention to change that has that level of disruption. It also is speeding up. Everything is moving faster than I remember in 40 years being out in the world working with a variety of clients. The speed is starting to really overlap changes on each other. And so now what I think leaders need to be doing is thinking about change in the system as part of what some of us in the system have to be paying attention to that as part of our jobs, not as a project, not as a separate issue. We have to be dealing with change continuously. And a lot of the changes became digital changes. That is, technology became more a part of the workplace. And that has caused a lot of people to have to shift into digital type changes. And like I say, things that are actually affecting the whole system more. So when I think of change today, I think of the difference between doing systemic change. That is, we have to think at a systemic level to actually do the change well, compared to many projects I used to do where I didn't need to understand the whole system. And I think that's another big difference in the changes. And so with change happening that way, now we can come back again and say, well, who's going to lead change? Because here we go again. The senior people are still doing what they always did. They're saying, okay, we need to get this project, but now what they're trying to do is organize multiple projects of change and putting project managers in charge of them. And the leader is not in there learning what's new and different. So the people who are learning it have to keep feeding it back to the leaders again. And I think we've lost a lot about the importance of learning during change. And when the world was not changing that much, we could get by because we could sit there and say, you know, I can solve most of the problems I face because I know our system really well. Now something happens, it's unknown. I have never seen it before. I have no idea what we ought to do. And for a lot of leaders, that's been a challenge for them because they're used to having right answers. They're used to their job calling for them to have right answers. And I think what's happening is we have multiple projects going on. They need to be managed together, not separately. And some organizations are creating new positions now where the person is supposed to overlook all of it, but they're still running it like project management, which I still think is not a systemic way of dealing with it. But so the speeds and the unknowns and the new scenarios that we're facing, to me, it says we have to be much better at building learning into our change process. And that means we need to get our best people, our best resources, we need to bring their thinking together, and we need to make sure that not just the leader can figure out how to make the decision, but the leader can build a collaborative group that brings the different perspectives from across the system together to work on this change. And I've had good success doing something like that 2 to 3 times right before I was finishing consulting. And it was when I stopped being the one collecting the data and doing all the work for the people, I learned to bring the right people in and have them do the change work. And then they owned it, and then they loved it, and then they were ready to implement. And I had one or two really good successes in managing to do that. And that was 5, 6 years ago. So I'm still thinking that this is a way to think about where we need to be today. And right now, I think it's more rapid and more complex than it even was 10 years ago.
And it
So.
seems like that as that pace of change and the disruptiveness and the messiness of it increases, instead of embracing the some of the ideas. I think back to Peter Senge and the learning organization and systems thinking and how that's never been needed more than today.
Yes.
And it seems like there's the pushback occurs to double down on the project management piece. That
I think so.
it's more the more disruptive it is, let's fall back on a very structured what's
Yeah.
for technical approach to a
Yeah.
very mechanistic a mechanistic approach to managing the change.
I know, I know. It is. And that's why my gut tells me that it's not going to work very well. Not with the level of complexity, the overlapping changes, the disruptive nature of a lot of them, meaning whatever I'm looking at as the leader today is not what I'm used to seeing. So I'm not sure. And leaders don't like to not have an answer. They actually don't like to not have an answer. And so I think that's a shame too. And so I think what that means then is so there's two things. First of all, who's going to be the leader? I think for the time being, the senior leaders are still delegating. But I would like to see some of the senior leaders. They don't have to be the CEO group. They can be the next level down or something. But they need to have some authority, and they need to be exposed to some of the things that they have to learn that's different than whatever they have been doing for the last 30 years. I mean, especially the ones that have been there a long time. And so we want to produce a process, a change process that allows people to learn. That part of the data gathering is now so that everybody learns more about what needs to happen. And when we think about what is our solution or what do we want to implement, some of that needs to be new. That is, it's not just something that we already know and we want to try it. It's something we haven't had to think about before. And I think we're going to face more of that the way I see it, or at least every article that I read is telling me that the world is getting faster and more disruptive, and technology is becoming more critical in most systems than even the human system is. I mean, it's almost give the technology one is overbearing at the moment, I think. It's really taking on the majority of the money, and there hasn't been an equal balance of how we optimize technology and people. And here we are with AI, which is the next thing that's going to be taking place. And I think we're right at the cusp of that again. Is technology going to drive it and the people aren't, or how do we optimize the use of both? And I think that's true in every system now because everybody's using more complex technologies. And these technologies, by the way, are changing very rapidly. So whoever needs to use them, they get some training. They're using version one. In another year, they're using version three.
Yeah,
And
it's what you see
so,
by the time they come out of the training.
exactly. So I'm just trying to add these different variables together and realize that the way we used to do change was a lot easier, I think, in retrospect. And we have to think, but our essence, the way we think, OD people think about change, still is useful, very useful. And we need to use it more because I'm afraid that the technological changes are outpacing the human changes right now. So that's one of the concerns that I see. And So what are the leader, whoever's the leader in change now, what are we going to need to do? Well, the other thing that happened in the last 25 years is our workforce went from homogeneous to diversified. The workforce is not the same workforce any of us knew years ago. And there was a time when we had a lot of people who had who had common similarities in the workforce. That is long gone. That's been long gone now for at least the last 15 or maybe even 20 years. And so we have diversities of all sorts. We now have four generations in the workforce. We never had that before. We have, dozens of different races and ethnicities in the workforce. We have, and we have people from different native countries that are all getting mixed up in a lot of bigger, larger organizations. So the leaders need to be in better connection with who their workforce is today, because I have not seen very many leaders working well with their diversified workforce, for example. And so the other thing we need to do is when change is happening in organizations, or organizations need to make some change happen, either way, the question is, we need to bring the perspectives that come from the HR people and the engineering people and the frontline people in a factory, or the people who have different pieces of task work inside of this organization business system running. And those different perspectives are experiencing all the changes differently as well. So I think leaders need to start thinking about, how do I tap into people? How do I bring the people together and listen to them? How do I hear what's going on so that I, as a leader, can maybe start pulling some of these pieces together and understanding, what do we need to do if our system is going to change? And so a lot of practices that we've always done, I think we still need to do them, but it would be nice if it wasn't me, the consultant, doing it, but it was the leader doing. So we would have somebody who works with their own employees and brings their perspectives together. So the first step is, we all have to understand what it is that is different that we have to deal with now. They all have to learn that. That's the learning piece. Once that learning piece happens, we then need to get our best resources and best thinkers together to come up with our solutions or what we want to do next. And when I say do next, all I ever think about is what Lewin did with action research. And that is, action research said, I don't know what we're going to do, so we're going to collect data. Then we're going to discuss it, and we're going to pick an action to do. We're going to pick something we think we can do. I think that's exactly what we need to do again today. And so we need to bring that thinking together. And the word innovation is probably a good word for us to start using again, even in OD work, and say, we need innovative actions that people can take in systems that they've never, or I'm sorry, in situations that they've never seen before. That's where I would think we need to get to.
Yeah, and I think that Lewin's idea that with that action research is getting, collecting the data and trying something, and it may be not just trying what you've always tried in the past.
Right. It's coming up with new, it's coming up with new things to try. And I think because the world has changed, people need to accept that. So think about yourself as a leader who's been successful running this business. Maybe 20 years you've been in a senior position or something. You have to let go of a lot of stuff to now deal with this world that we're into now. And I think we need to do that. We need to be working very closely with leaders and helping them out because they're so used to being asked to make all the decisions. They're so used to having to have answers, and all of that would be the wrong behaviors. What they need instead is they need to ask better questions. They need to bring more people into collaborative conversations. They need to stop and listen and make sure that they're not talking the whole time, because a lot of leaders do talk all the time. And all I'm saying is, so what ch that needs to change is we need to change the way the leaders do leading and the way the leaders do change. And I think part of it is, connecting with the people. The first thing I learned during the pandemic, I was working with a couple of, I gave presentations to a couple of different leader groups, and a lot of them, the biggest complaint that was happening right away was they were not very quick to connect with the people and the hurt that the people were having. Those leaders were still distant. They were still far away from their people. And that was one of the first complaints. Well, now we may need the same thing. People are being hit differently with these changes happening across the system. I need to hear them. I need to bring them together, and I need to connect with them. And so the leaders need to use some different. Now, you and I both know this. There are leadership styles that fit this, what I'm saying, very well. And there are other leadership styles that don't. So they may need to be looking more at adaptive leadership. They may need to look at more servant leadership and some of the characteristics that come out of those types. I think the other one's called transformational leadership, which is all about how we develop our people and we get them to do their best job and all that. So.
Do you, from your teaching experience, do you see some of these newer ideas permeating leadership education or like MBAs in business schools?
No. I'm sorry to say, but no, I don't see it happening. And I don't yet see it happening in leadership development work, which each organization needs to be thinking about. And I'm getting kind of excited about, I'm looking for some opportunities even where I'd love to help somebody whose job it is to design leadership development and think about some new ways to include different things into leadership development. Like, for example, the way change has changed. Every leader should learn that. And what are the styles that make a difference in engaging people? Because we're not trying to leave the people out of the change. I want to reverse that and bring people engaged into working on the change. And because this whole thing about resistance is important and commitment is important. And I think some of the resistances are just natural. They're going to happen. That's going to be version one is going to be some form of resistance. However, the way in which we do the process of change, the way we are inclusive, how transparent we are, how much we say to people, this is what we know and this is what we don't know. Can we collectively work on this? That is something leaders still struggle to say, I'm afraid. And that's exactly the leaders that do that are the ones that are most respected by all their people who have to work with them. So I think that's all leadership development things we need to start shifting too. So I don't know how long it'll take to get them changed at the higher education level, but I haven't seen much. In fact, I think it was one of the great authors who once said that MBAs are not teaching anybody to be leaders. They're only teaching them to be managers. So I don't
Yeah,
know.
I was going to say when I think about different MBA programs that I'm familiar with, they very few of them have any type of org development component,
No.
any type of change leadership. They might have a change management class, but it's a project management class. It's
That's right. That's right. You're absolutely right. Yeah. Well, and I am afraid that change management has spread very widely, and project management is the underlying basis in change management. So even if you get a ProSci certification, that's what you're getting. And I think some of the structure of project management can be over, cannot get us at the learning stages that we need, because a lot of the data is going to tell us that we are not in the same, we're not in the same world that we can understand in the same way we used to. Because when I say a mindset, I mean, what assumptions are we living with in our mindset? Are we believing something that is no longer true? And that is a learning process, and I find that most people resist wanting to learn that kind of stuff. So I think we have to start off our processes even differently. The way we invite people in, the way we get data, I mean, we still need data. We're still a data-driven organization. I mean, we're a field that's data-driven. And I think our data now is even more important, because there's a learning requirement that needs to get built in somewhere. And I found that it was very fascinating when I had a particular team of people who were getting the data, bringing it back, having cross-discipline conversations about that data, and the ahas that they came up with was what struck me as that's why that was going to work better. And it did. And so by learning how to do that, it changed the way my job was in the work. And so I think that whether I'm internal or external, I still can guide all that. I still have change expertise to help them out, and we can still work side by side with the leader. That's exactly, but we just need to help the leaders move into a different kind of leading change process, is my hope. That's my hope.
What do you see as the role of like the HR department or the learning and development, talent development, those traditional functions? How do you see them playing
Well,
a role, or
yeah.
what would be their ideal role?
Yeah, well, I think there's a couple things that come to my mind with that. One of them is, one of the things that HR needs to always do is they need to always think about what does it take to help keep our human system functional and well-being and all those kind of things. So anytime a change is happening, HR needs to be one of the key stakeholders who is working alongside of whoever's doing the change, but they don't have to lead the change. They can be thinking about HR policies. They can be thinking about HR, the training and learning piece. What are people going to need to learn if we're going to make this change? See, all this stuff needs to be thought about as part of the process of change, not after we make the change, and then everybody just complains and says, I need this, I need that. No one thought it through very well. So I think there's a way that HR needs to have a role. Learning and development certainly needs to have a role. In some ways, learning and development needs to be connected with any change, because we're either changing the work or we're changing the behaviors we need in people. And both of those things need learning and development. So, yeah, I think that's true. Plus, so many of the people in our field come from training and development. A lot of them move into OD from training and development. And I did myself, actually.
That's kind of that was my route
Yep,
in going
yep.
to the field, and it's kind of gone back to where now I'm in a faculty role with an HRD
Yep,
program,
yep.
even though my area is still OD, but I've kind of come back to that, and so I've see myself as kind of an OD person embedded in an HRD
Yep.
program.
Well, I would hope you can still teach OD through HR, through HRD.
It permeates all my classes.
Good, good. That's good. That's good. I think that makes sense. In fact, that separation never was really helpful, I didn't think. But
Yeah, and I've had good conversations with students and just people in organizations around what does that OD role look like in organizations? Is it housed in HR? Is HR truly strategic?
It's a good question. Very good question. I mean, I think in some ways, OD is too much embedded in HR nowadays. It started back in around 1990 is when HR started taking it over. And now we're doing a lot of less OD work because they've turned it into HR tasks, basically.
Yeah, it seems like what I saw happen was, and I'm old enough to remember back when it was the personnel department,
Yeah, I know. I know.
and then they changed it to human resources, and then when human resources was trying to become, it's like, well, we need a seat at the table, and to do that, we need to be strategic,
Yeah.
and less, and less transactional, and in fact, you're part of one of the books, the Strategic HR Handbook. So a great book. I use that in my program, and the students, they love it. They're like, I hang on to this. There's so many good articles that are in that book. But it seemed like what as HR tried to become more strategic, and it's like, okay, we're going to make OD part of HR so that HR can be strategic. What they did was they made OD more tactical.
They did exactly. You
And
got it. That's
instead
right.
of yeah, instead of the other happening, it just the reverse happened.
And when I was at St. Thomas, I took over a course which we called Strategic HR, and I loved that course because actually OD and Strategic HR can go together well. And so our students liked it and everything else. And even when we changed the title of our degree to OD, it wasn't originally, but we changed it over. We still kept the strategic HR courses for one of their required courses because what we were doing was connecting that whole system that HR deals with. We were connecting that to everything else about OD and plus the practices of OD and how they could become, see that HR people could be out with different departments and working with people. So the business partner role became a beautiful way to execute it if you could set it up right. And the problem I saw is the companies around Minnesota, the one that I met a lot of people who were in our program, what I saw was the problem was they just kept picking people with 20 years of HR experience and thinking they would be the best business partners. Turns out they were too HR thinking and they weren't able to take in the OD part of it very well. That was the only thing I saw was an error. But yeah.
Yeah, and I'm not that familiar, and I probably need to get up to speed more with the PHR and the SPHR
Yeah.
certifications, because I wonder, I'm just curious, how much OD is part of those credentials.
I don't know that it is. That's a good question. That's a great question. And the SHRM also puts out stuff on HR, but every time I've looked at it, some of it just doesn't feel like it's updated very well in terms of what's going on with OD. But SHRM has included certain OD reports and stuff like that coming out. And you know how many different definitions there are of OD, so you know why when people say what's OD, they really are talking about different stuff. So if our field had been run better, then we might have had a more common way to think about what is OD. And that's the other last thing that I'm thinking about around this leading changes. I'm thinking about what is the essence of OD that we don't want to lose? What is the core that makes a difference? And I have been dangling in that for 20 years. I've written twice about it, and I don't like either one of them anymore. But I'm going to do one more. I'm going to do one more and say this is what I think we need to carry forward. And but I'm okay. What I don't care what methods we end up using. It's whether or not we're using the concepts and practices and values that OD makes a difference in.
So I was
Other one.
just teasing out a little bit. What would you see as some of the essence of OD that that we don't want to lose?
Simple things like participation of all the key stakeholders in anything we're changing, for example. Or another one I think that is always helpful and useful is we try to use data to replace opinions. That we want to be a more data-based organization. Now, there's different kinds of data, and it doesn't have to be a forever data or a complete assessment, but there's certain questions we have to ask, and that's what we need data about. And this learning thing is also a way to think about data. It's like I say, what is happening that's different that I don't fully understand? There's a place to get data. And so being data driven is important. I think the value of developmental thinking is important. I think the idea is no matter what we're doing, whenever we're changing, we need to be also thinking about what forms of development will be needed for this to be successful. And I think we've always worked that way. And I think there's, probably a handful more that might fit, but that's what I mean by just the essence. So you could use a different method than me. We could still all be doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and I hadn't really thought about it from that word standpoint, but I like how you talk about the essence of OD.
That's why I want to finally do a last version of it, and I've been trying to work on it. In fact, I have to do a webinar in March, so I'm going to try to get it clarified by then a little bit better.
Who is that through the ODN or?
No, that's through Penn State. It's
Okay.
a webinar process that they're putting on in OD.
I'll have to look for that. So, do you know Ron Banerjee? Yeah. Yeah, I've gotten to know Ron from the IOTA group. So, in fact, he and I are going to be, we talked last week and we're going to be talking again later this week and actually
Oh, good.
we'll be doing a podcast episode
Oh,
coming up.
good. Well,
So
say hello to. I
I
haven't
will tell
seen
him
him
you
in a
said
year. I've
hi.
been a year. Just tell him I said hi. Yeah, it's
And I'll have to watch for that webinar because I think that would be.
well, it's if you go to Penn State has a website where they're doing their OD webinars. If you find that, they're all listed there. And it's a March date, I think. So
I'll look for that. Yeah, I think
And they're free. Yeah, they're all free, I think, from there.
I think there's a whole book for you, Dave. Just the essence of OD.
I know. I have done two presentations on it, like I say, and I think they're all pieces in work. And I don't want it to stay that way. I want to finish it. And not that it won't change again in the future. I just may not be around. So, but I want to say where I think it belongs now. That's all. So, yeah.
Well, I think you've got a pulse on where the field is and where the field needs to be. And I think that you combine the historical perspective of understanding organizational life and the evolution of organizational thinking with combining that with a good grasp on what is needed now. And so you're like that voice in the wilderness, saying, here's what we've done in the past, here's what we've tried, here's what we need to be doing. And so I think your ideas are needed
Thank you.
in so many organizations. And so
Well, I'm thinking that too, and I've just got to find ways to get the word out a little bit on that. And I'm not planning to rebuild my consulting or anything, and I don't think I'll be working full time, but I mean, I do want to keep working. But and I think doing some of that will help to cement these couple of areas that I'm thinking about, the leading change and the essence of OD. But I can say I think those are the only things that have got my heart still hooked. So those are the two that I'll probably look at for a while. So.
Yeah, and you kind of get to a point where I grew up a Cowboys fan, and so I know
Yeah.
that's heartbreaking. I'm not necessarily a huge fan of their owner, but
Yeah.
he said something recently, and he was saying, because he's in his early 80s, and he said, "I'm at an age where I can't afford to have any bad days." And so I think that as I've gotten
Yeah.
older, I'm thinking,
Yeah.
I'm going to be really choosy on what I teach and
Exactly.
where I spend my
Exactly.
time and who I spend it with. Like, this is a
That's
great
right.
conversation, Dave. I love
Yeah.
catching up.
Thank
And
you.
so
Yeah.
people have asked me that. How do you pick your podcast guests? And I said, well, I pick people I want to talk to.
That's right.
And then if my audience wants to listen, that's great. But it's really, I
I
pick people
know.
that I find interesting, that I know I'm going to have a good conversation with.
That's
And
great.
that's my approach to it. And so,
Yeah, that's perfect. No, that's perfect. And I appreciate you doing these things. So that's great. And
I really appreciate your time, and
yep.
I'll give you a shout when the episode drops.
Okay. Okay.
I think that's a cool term. I think is the episode drops. It's kind of like a new record dropping or something. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
The episode will drop.
Okay.
And I'll watch for your webinar, and then hopefully we'll cross paths face to face sometime down the road.
That'd be great. That'd be great. Yeah, I hope so. I hope so. Thank you for inviting me. I
You bet.
appreciate doing this with you.
Yeah, I appreciate your time. Take care, Dave. Happy New
Okay,
Year.
bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
I hope you've enjoyed listening to Chatting About Change with Dr. Jim Maddox. If you want to connect more, you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook, and at my website, drjimmaddox.com. Thanks for listening.